or in a dramatic Game 7.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Dramatic Game 7. Let's take one of your teams, Ben. It can't be football because they only play one game. Who's your favorite hockey team?
The Predators.
The Preds, right? Ben loves the Preds. Best thing about watching the Preds play is what? Watching the Preds play.
No, you're wrong.
You know
wrong.
What I mean?
You're wrong.
With a seventh game, you get seven games. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather watch seven hockey games than just four.
Airing every day from
noon to three.
You have done this to yourself. All I have to do is kick away the chair, my friend. The most famous Predator series of the last 5 years when they swept the Chicago Blackhawks. And now Chicago cannot argue with Nashville ever because all they have to say is, hey, brooms.
Buddy,
brooms.
Brooms. Sure, they beat the brooms. Blackhawks, but you remember what
hey,
happened.
Hey, Chicago, you trying to talk trash to me? You got swept. Brooms.
On 1340 WKGN.
Sweeping the team makes such a statement of, hey, we're better than you. When it's a sweep, you leave no doubt. Nothing. There is nothing worse than losing a playoff game. And you've
game
given me that pain.
Game 7 is massive.
And you've given me that pain three times.
But
no
game
thanks.
7 becomes so massive.
Brooms out, bitch.
Just watch.
Sweep. Sweep. Woo!
Hour 2 kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Let's go straight to some Hour 2 headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Okay, thanks, John. The College World Series getting heated up today with a triple header. Louisville and Auburn currently playing right now. That game was postponed yesterday. There's been a little bit of a weather issue in Omaha. So Louisville and Auburn are getting it on right now. And I believe, was it Louisville was up, what, 4-1?
I don't know.
Where did my bracket go? I'm going to come right back to this. Matthew Stafford, new report coming out on him. You know, he threw for fewer than 4,000 yards last year for the first time since 2010. And it was the eighth straight season in 2018 that he had thrown for 4,000 yards or more. Last year he did not. Turns out that he had a broken back last year. And played through it. He had broken bones in his back.
That seems tough.
Ian Rappaport described the injury as tiny fractures in his back. Tiny back fractures. Broken bones in his back. So not like a full-on broken back, I guess, but, I mean, by definition, it would be, you know, broken back, right? So that seems tough to play through.
Yeah. Yeah,
little,
it does.
Little newfound respect for Matthew Stafford.
I mean, he's tough.
I mean, he played through a broken back. I mean,
no, he's tough.
We got to give him something.
You
we?
Didn't give Phillip Rivers any credit for playing through a torn ACL, so why are we all of a sudden
that's
wanting to,
not a
to
broken
give
back.
Stafford credit?
That's not a broken back. Big difference.
Matthew Stafford's tough. Still not a good quarterback, but he's tough.
It's pretty rough. I'm trying to get back to my baseball stuff here. Louisville leading at the stretch. This baseball website's just, I'll come back to it. The U.S. women's team, basketball team, the under 16 team, did you see what they did yesterday? They absolutely murdered El Salvador in a FIBA Americas tournament. They beat them by nearly 100 points.
Did you see the difference in the teams?
Yeah. There's a photo
yeah,
of the American women.
Of them getting ready to come out of the locker room where the U.S. women's team is like a good 5 inches and 20 pounds heavier than all of the other players.
It's
and
like a foot.
You see the side-by-side of how they stack up to each other, and then the next picture was the score, and you're like, yep, this makes sense.
Man. Yeah, that was tough. The U.S. team took advantage of the size difference to score 70 points in the paint. They out-rebounded their Salvadoran opponent 64-23. London Jones led the U.S. with 21 points. That alone would have been enough to win the game. The final score was 114-19. I mean, talk about being unfair. And how do you deal with that if you're the Salvadoran women? They're all like 5'5". Tops. That's tough.
I feel like the gap between American women and other countries in these sports is just too wide. In like most of these instances. You've seen it with soccer. You saw it with basketball. You got any more headlines?
In the winner's bracket tonight, college baseball, we've got Vandy and Mississippi State. That will start 65 minutes after the conclusion of the current game on. Elimination game at 7 Eastern on ESPN will be Texas Tech and Florida State.
Okay.
Finally found the information I was looking at for the College World Series. So triple header today, elimination game tonight. Last Chance U will be back on Netflix for its fourth season.
I've yet to watch 1 second of that.
Me neither. I've never seen it either, but I've heard that it is popular. The hit TV show will be back on Netflix this summer for its fourth season. They announced it's returning, set to launch July 19th. The Emmy-nominated series once again will take place in Independence, Kansas, where Coach Jason Brown and his team will attempt to compete for a national title. However, this year things go horribly wrong. The team finished 2-8 in 2018.
Do you watch?
That's a big spoiler.
You watch?
No. No, I don't.
Okay.
I tried to watch the first season when they were in, where was it, Mississippi?
Ben, you watch Last Chance U, don't you? Thumbs up. Cam, you ever watch it? Yeah? Just the first season, you said? First couple?
I couldn't get into it.
I've never watched 1 second of it. Some people like it.
I mean, it's pretty good. It's kind of like a college Hard Knocks, except it's JUCO and the coach is kind of a D-bag.
Yeah. I think that's my issue is that it's JUCO and that the coach is like
the coach is the worst. Like you like while you're watching, you definitely learn to hate this man.
Well, I think that would be my issue is just like watching this psycho who, like I said, you coach JUCO, bro, like not really Vince Lombardi out here, like
the last coach that just got fired for calling himself his team's Hitler, he was the worst.
Yeah.
But I mean like it's decent. And apparently one of the guys, Ronald Ollie, he recently just got signed by the Raiders, but okay. From the first season.
Okay.
Chad Johnson is hosting a pay-per-view live Saturday, June 29th, 2019 at 7 o'clock Eastern time to see who is pro football's fastest man. 40 yards, 16 superstars. Chad Johnson. Looking to host the 40 yards of gold event. There are a few guys in the bracket who run a 4.2. It's for $1 million.
Is this going to be on TV anywhere or just streaming online? Pay-per-view, you said?
Pay-per-view. Live
how
on
much?
Pay-per-view.
Like $5? Like how much are we trying to make us to watch run? Like are we going to watch this actually?
I don't know.
Is anyone paying for this? Pay-per-view
No. But Alvin Kamara will be participating.
Ted Ginn's going to win, right?
Like, this is what's interesting. We'll get a potential second round matchup between Alvin Kamara and Ted Ginn.
Okay. Like, didn't Kamara run like a 4.5 at the combine?
Yeah, he's
like
probably,
Kamara's
he's probably
football fast, but like I don't feel like he's in these sprinters track fast.
Well, he's probably going to get beat by Ted Ginn then.
Kevin I don't think Sneed. He's going to get out of the first round. Like I feel like he's going to lose. He ran like a 4.5.
He's going up against Robbie Anderson first round.
Robbie Anderson's going to dust him.
You think so?
I mean, I don't know. Robbie Anderson's tall and lanky, though. I bet he's got some pretty good strides.
Well, if you want to watch that, you can. It will be available on pay-per-view. Surely to God, nobody will pay for that.
Yeah, it seems like a weird thing to try to get people to pay to watch.
Just a bunch of guys running 40s. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Dick Vitale has signed an extension to remain a big part of ESPN's college basketball coverage. Very unfortunate, isn't it?
Like, I would be okay if ESPN was just keeping him on TV because they weren't having to pay him and he was just volunteering his time. But the fact you're saying he signs an extension and only a A big extension?
Through 2022.
Does it say how much money he's making per year?
No.
Why not? Can we have some consistency here? I feel like ESPN makes a lot of money by talking about how much money the players make. Shouldn't we know how much money they make?
We don't.
I feel like we should. Make it public info.
Dick Vitale says he still feels like a younger man.
Well, you're not.
So there's no reason for him to stop doing what he loves.
There is, Dick.
He says he'll be able to tell when the time comes.
It was 2 years ago.
If I feel like it's not there, I will just tell them.
4 years ago, even.
I would not try to embarrass them or embarrass my family, and most of all, I would not embarrass myself, he said.
That time's passed, Mr.
I feel as young as ever. I feel like 20. I act about 12. I don't know what that means. Then reality sets in when I look in the mirror. At my age, it can happen overnight. Bottom line, I feel great. I don't feel any different than when I was 45 or 50. I really don't. Dick Vitale is now 96.
How old is he really?
96.
He's not 96. How old is he really? Does the article say?
I don't know.
How old do you think Dick Vitale is? If I had to guess, right, if you had to guess, how old do you think he is? Do you have the answer?
I have the answer. Give it to us. Don't look up.
73?
I'll go 73.
I was going to say 81.
Is he in his 80s already?
Are we counting going over?
Yes.
He's 80.
Nice. Got it.
You didn't get it. You said 73. You just said
I
we're
counting. I know, but you went over.
You said we're counting it.
Over. Yeah.
You just said we're counting it.
Which means John wins.
I meant the other way.
No, you set the
it's
terms.
Price is Right
no,
rules. How many times do we have to do this?
You set the terms yourself.
I meant to say the other thing because I knew when you.
Oh, okay.
I meant to say 80 then. Well, I knew when you asked the question.
Looks like John's right.
I meant to say 80, Ben. Sorry.
Obviously, if Ben asked the question, it means you went over.
I meant to say 80, Ben.
Which I knew. Problem is, I didn't really pay attention to the question. So I
went.
I said, are we counting going over?
I heard the question. I didn't hear the specific.
I meant to say
yes or no.
So I'll win.
You set your own terms.
I nailed it right on the head. 80 years old. Yeah.
Dick Vitale was born in 1939.
June 9th. So he just turned 80.
It's a bad year.
Yeah.
Germany started the World War II, and Dick Vitale was born.
I'm sure there was more.
Those are the two worst things, probably. A plane crashed into the Tennessee River last night in South Knoxville. The pilot was uninjured. KPD said a small plane crashed into the river near the downtown Island Airport. Well, that's where my dad usually lands. He was planning to fly over yesterday. The sole occupant pilot was uninjured, currently on shore with first responders. That was 15 hours ago. Yeah, my dad, he flies planes, you know, and smaller planes.
Yeah.
And he always lands at that airport. He said it's a tough airport to land at because you got to, like, come over the trees. You're going over downtown the buildings. You got to deal with that and everything.
Yeah.
And then there's these trees just right on the edge. Backed up again. It's apparently you have a very short window to get on that runway. It's kind of a tough place to land at. Just what I've heard.
Did you guys see the story about the person who was driving around their car with a torso in it? I'm surprised it hasn't been on headlines yet. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Do we have any updates on Blackshear? Anybody see any updates on Kerry Blackshear Jr.? Anything?
No. No, I have not seen anything on Kerry. When was he supposed to be at Kentucky?
Yesterday. He's supposed to get up there on Tuesday. If we had any updates? That's kind of what I'm waiting for. To see where this guy's going to school. Haven't heard anything yet. We're all kind of on watch, I guess. Kind of similar just all across the board in recruiting. That guy we talked about yesterday, that Keyshawn Lawrence guy, that four-star safety from infield, Nashville. Ensworth. Thank you, Ben.
Bike share made it to campus yesterday.
Tweeted like, hey, I'm going home this weekend, and picture of Miami. I was like, wait a second, what? Miami, home. Back to the crib is what he said, to the house. Miami, what?
Some reports indicate Kerry Blackshear wants to make a decision this week.
Yeah, I think people are all kind of like waiting for him to make something soon. Like
today.
Maybe today, yeah.
There was, the Kentucky people said that some people had said a decision could have even been made yesterday. So this could happen at any moment. But nothing yet.
So we wait. I kind of like to talk Tennessee stuff right here in this 1 o'clock hour. We've done the recruiting. We've done the Blackshear. We've done the. I did a little bit of the Florida game yesterday.
Want to go through the schedule?
No, I don't want to go through the schedule.
We haven't yet. We could read off each game, and we could say, now listen, hear me out. I don't know if any radio show's ever done this. We could go through each game individually, and we could both say whether we think they'll win or lose that game.
No.
Just an idea. It's not something you hear often.
I will say that I had found myself reading some this morning, and I was surprised to see what Kentucky's over-under was on their schedule.
They're getting some love, aren't they?
Not in the thing I saw.
Oh, well, I just saw on one of the Kentucky websites that the football team's getting love.
Not what I saw. I saw that they're over-under. So what would you think their over-under would be set at? I mean, because...
For next year?
Yeah.
Well, now you've already... I already have the preconceived notion that it's going to be low.
It's lower than Tennessee.
It's
at six.
They lose.
Six.
I would have said it
six
probably.
Six and six is what they're projected to go.
I would have said it probably at six. Yeah. No, I'm just telling you what I would have. You asked me, so.
Which?
Six.
Seems a little low for Kentucky. The odds makers, I guess, aren't giving them a lot of respect because their non-conference is pretty easy. Like, obviously, they play Louisville at the end of the year. And their other three non-conference games are UT Martin, Toledo, and Eastern Michigan.
Can't mess around with Toledo and Eastern Michigan.
So, you know, three of those non-conference games should be layups. And the fourth one's Louisville, which I don't know if Louisville will be any better this year. They were awful last year, but...
I really don't think Toledo's a layup.
They should win the game at least.
They should win the game, but Kentucky's known to lose like one of those games every year.
Well, they didn't last year, unless you count Tennessee.
They were good last year.
Unless you count Tennessee as that game last year.
They were good last year.
Does it surprise you that they're projected to only win two SEC games?
I haven't studied up a lot on Kentucky's roster. My guess is they're probably losing a lot of talent from last year's team. Dupree, he's gone to the NFL, right? Is Benny Snell still there?
No, he's gone.
Benny Snell's gone, too. But he was a hoss.
Who is Dupree?
The defensive end? Or am I thinking of somebody
else? That's Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Who the hell is – I'm thinking of
Dupree
Bud Dupree.
That was a couple years ago, right?
Well, I was thinking of Josh Allen.
I was going to say, Dupree sounds familiar, but I don't – remember him on Kentucky's team last year. That was Josh Allen.
He was a linebacker like 2016, I want to say.
Okay.
Still, really he good was a first round seven.
He was a first round pick. He was like number four or five, I want to say.
Yeah, I was thinking of Josh
Either
Allen.
Way.
Anyway.
Kentucky had a linebacker go in the top five?
I know they had a veteran.
He was a first round pick.
Who, Bud Dupree?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was talking about Josh Allen. I messed up. I know they had a very experienced veteran offensive line last year. So I'm guessing they've lost some seniors from their offensive line. I don't know a lot about the rest of their roster.
I'm just talking about perception-wise. Kentucky's projected to win 6 games.
Well, perception-wise, Kentucky's still Kentucky.
Even after the 10-win season last year?
Yes.
Okay.
If you look at those wins, they got away with some – like that Missouri game.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a 10-2 team that could have easily been 8-4.
That was the only one that stood out to me, though. I guess the Florida game, that field goal that went over the goalpost that was probably good, they called no good.
Well, South Carolina, wasn't it? They had some really close, like –
I want to say they pounded South Carolina, but maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe they did. The Mississippi State game. I know they pounded Mississippi State. They beat them like 28-7.
They did beat Mississippi State significantly.
Tennessee's over under. Have we talked about it before? What it's officially set at?
Is it at 7?
It's at 7.
That's a good number.
The juice right now is -130 on the under. But Tennessee's projected 7, Kentucky's projected 6. Obviously, you could do the math. That means Tennessee's projected to finish ahead of Kentucky. Does that change anything for you? Or are you already kind of expecting to be ahead of Kentucky?
Yeah, I'm fully expecting that.
Okay.
They beat Vandy 14-7. That was another one of those games.
Yeah, I mean, they won a bunch of close games.
They really weren't that good.
What was the South Carolina game?
24-10.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't remember that one being close. We've already talked about South Carolina's schedule, right?
They have a brutal schedule. Yeah, they got to play A&M, Clemson,
Bama.
Yeah, they draw Bama this year.
Georgia, Florida, obviously, like their schedule is ridiculous.
Will Muschamp maybe out the door?
I don't know. I did that interview for Hardee's with the South Carolina writer, and he said, "Nah, everyone knows the schedule's brutal. Like if he drops the ball and they go 4-8, he'll be on the hot seat." But saying he's not getting fired unless there's a scandal, basically.
You wouldn't think the pressure there is too much. I mean, not even close to what it would be here. They want to win down there, but they're not used to winning big. You know what I mean? Like, Spurrier is the best thing they ever had. They used to be dormant, just like Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Mississippi State. That's how it used to be at the bottom of the league. So I don't think they expect to win national titles at South Carolina. Although they probably look next door at Clemson and think that it's possible. That's got to be a bad feeling, right? To be the state school.
Yeah.
And you look over next door at what Clemson's doing.
And you're in the SEC, obviously.
That's got to be tough. So maybe – and so you couple that with what Spurrier did there, and maybe the standard has been raised. The expectations are a little higher. But, yeah, as long as they don't just, you know, tank the next couple of years, he'll probably stick around.
I don't know what the point of this exercise was.
Are we talking SEC East right now?
I don't know what the point of it was. I just saw Kentucky, you know, their over-under was set at 6, and that kind of surprised me a little bit.
Vanderbilt
is going to be lower than that. So, I mean, like, Tennessee is going to be – like, I keep calling the Missouri game the most important game because I think that's going to be your competition for third place.
Well, got to deal with Kelly Bryant up there now.
Yeah.
Dooley running the offense. What happened to those good running backs they still had? Do they have any of those guys left?
Crockett and them? I don't know.
Surely he's not still there, is he? I don't know. He might be. Ish Witter, you remember him? He's probably gone.
I've said it before a couple times, like I said just a second ago. Like, I do think the Missouri game is going to be the most important game for Tennessee this year.
The most important game?
Yeah.
In terms of what?
Whether or not this season is going to be a success.
You think that's the one that gets judged as kind of where we're at, where or where we should be as a program? Like, that should be the next level to beat Missouri.
Maybe I'm just assuming that Tennessee is going to beat Mississippi State and South Carolina. Maybe I'm wrong in assuming that.
Is Missouri above? Yeah, I guess Missouri would be above those two teams. I don't know. To me, I look at Missouri on kind of a similar level. Missouri would be the third best in the East right now, though, wouldn't they? So that is kind of your next threshold to get to. But it does seem dangerous to assume we beat South Carolina and Mississippi State.
Yeah, maybe I'd listen to the case that either Mississippi State or South Carolina is more important. But for me, I think it's Missouri. I think you need to win a road game this year. Now, granted, you do need to win some big home games, too. You really just need wins. We're not at any point to scoff at any wins.
Well, do you think for you to judge Pruitt positively that we have to beat Missouri or, say, Florida?
Yeah, obviously if you beat Florida, that's bigger than the Missouri
win.
That
can cancel out Missouri.
I mean, I think you should just beat Missouri. I don't know. I keep coming back to that.
But do you think you should win one of those games? I mean, like, go ahead and cross out Bama, cross out Georgia, whatever. Do you think you need to split Mizzou, Florida to be where you feel comfortable? Because to me, that feels like a 9-3 team, which might be raising the expectation a little too high.
So you're looking at Missouri kind of as that fourth okay loss, I guess, if that's how you're ranking them. Like, if you're just ranking it in terms of games you're okay losing, obviously Bama's number one. I assume Georgia's number two.
Right, and then
Florida's number three, and then Missouri's number four. Is that how you're ranking Tennessee's games this year?
I guess to me, Missouri, Mississippi State, and South Carolina are kind of interchangeable.
Okay.
Like, I view Kentucky and Vandy on a much lower scale, and part of that is just the Tennessee in me. Like, hey, it's Vandy and Kentucky. I don't care where we're at as a program. We need to beat those two teams, especially this year. Like, that's 6 wins minimum, okay? Win your non-conference games and you beat Vandy, Kentucky. There's your 6 wins. There's your bowl game. To me, that's still not quite where we need to be.
Okay.
So, I guess for me, 2 out of 4 against Florida, Mizzou, South Carolina, and Mississippi State. Is that fair?
Say that one more time.
2 out of 4 against Mississippi State, South Carolina, Missouri, and Florida. 50,
yeah, I mean,
50,
I think,
50.
I think that's fair. And does that not, that gets you to, what, 8 wins?
That's 8 wins. Because I'm counting BYU as a win, and I don't really care who you lose to in those 4, but give me 2 of them.
Between Mississippi State, South Carolina,
Missouri,
and Kentucky?
No. Mississippi State, Missouri, South Carolina, Florida.
Florida. Oh, okay. And then you're just penciling a win against Kentucky?
Yes. Well, I'm not penciling it in. I'm saying I think for where we're at, Kentucky and BYU, I mean, that's bare minimum. That's 6 wins. Kentucky, Vandy, BYU. That's bare minimum for me.
I think I would just throw Kentucky in that group and make it a group of 5 and say you have to win 3 of them. That's what I would
do. I like splitting it up 6-4-2.
I mean, I get that, but I don't think Kentucky – us going on the road to Kentucky, like, are we in position to say that that's a game you should have to win?
Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about that. I'm fully, yeah, I think that's a game you should, I think you have to win
so
that
you
game.
Have 4, so you're saying 4, the 4 non-conference, Vandy and Kentucky. Should
you
all be
you
wins.
Don't think we have to win at Kroger Field in year 2?
No, not if you win other games. Like I said,
sure.
Like, to me, I would put that in a group of 5, like I said, and say you have to win 3 of them.
I think I put that one on the lower tier. Maybe that's just me.
To you pounded them last year, and sure, that's fine. That was at
their
home.
Their best team ever.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you beat their best team ever, like the way we did, their team that's taking a step back, I feel like we should beat the hell out of as well.
A team without Josh Allen, who I thought was Bud Dupree, and Benny Snell in that O-line, like, yeah.
I mean, I'm not necessarily disagreeing. Like, we did open the segment by talking about how Kentucky's, projected lower than Tennessee. When you actually, like, look through this, it does make it hard to justify anything less than 8-4.
Yeah, it does. For year 2.
It makes it tough to justify that.
I mean, I think we'll get by with 7-5, but, like, that's why I'm saying bare minimum is beating Kentucky, Vandy, and BYU, which to me is, like, if you don't do that, yeah, it's not going to work out. That is bare minimum. And when I say bare minimum, I mean that's like,
fire his ass.
Maybe. That's like half the fan base saying fire his ass. That's bare minimum. So then you can't give me you know, South Carolina and a Mizzou.
If you can't beat BYU, Vandy, and Kentucky in year two, I'm in the fire as ass camp.
I've gone from you have to beat one of your big rivals to I'm letting you lose to all of them and one more game. Okay? So give me 8-4, please. I'll take another year of getting my ass beat, of getting bent over and abused by Alabama, Florida, and Georgia, plus one more game. And all I'm asking is that you win the other ones. I think that's fair.
Yeah, when you actually start looking at it, you're just kind of like, man, this it's be tough to justify anything less than 8.
I mean, you get South Carolina and Mississippi State at home. You're probably right on Missouri on being probably the biggest swing game there in terms of kind of where you're at, you know, because you got to go on the road. And I mean, we're going to excuse Florida as much as I hate to say it. We're going to excuse them. So, really, Mizzou, I mean, that's probably your biggest swing game if you expect to win the home games.
I've been saying Missouri. I see the argument for Mississippi State just because, I mean, they're still going to be a quality team this year, right?
They should be, but, I mean, they got to break in a new quarterback.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's some Tennessee talk. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Getting you through your workday. If you have you missed anything so far? Mike Conley traded to Utah. That's pretty much the only thing that's happened so far. We broke down the Houston Rockets and Boston Celtics, and the idea of trying to wait for your window, dragging your feet and messing things up. Foster tweets in: what is considered a swing game? What do you consider a swing game when we're talking about this?
I thought I made it pretty clear with the four that I identify as swing games are Florida, Missouri, Mississippi State, and South Carolina.
When I think of a swing game, I think of it's a game that isn't a penciled-in win or loss. It's pretty much the only thing I think of. Like, you win your swing game, you can go to 8-4. If you lose it, you're going to be struggling to get past 6-6. That's kind of the way I look at it. It's just a close game that the spread's going to be within 4 points, that if you win, your season gets remembered a lot differently. Last year, I thought on the road at South Carolina, kind of a swing game.
Mm-hmm. It was. It should have been a win. That was a tough one.
You know, obviously Vanderbilt, that wasn't even a swing game. That was just a, you know, do or die game type of thing. Well, a little bit differently. I think is it fair to say it just kind of has to affect the rest of your season too? Like, swing the season a little bit? Like, obviously you can't make the case that you beat Vanderbilt last year and you go on and you do anything great. You already would have known your schedule, right? 6-6.
Yeah. Seemed like Pruitt kind of lost his team after that South Carolina game.
Well, he talked about losing his team. Like, mm-hmm. he's referenced it. He said that was the reason he canceled the Big Orange Caravan. That's why you're getting the Summer of Smokey instead. I don't think he wants to go going? And do those dumbass meet and greets and shake everyone's hands and try to sell the program, but he also said that he wanted to bond with the team. Says he felt like his team didn't feel bonded to him, and that's why they played so poorly down the stretch. That's why you had the reports of losing your team, because they didn't have that extra love for him yet in terms of digging deep and finishing strong.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. That's all right. He was a first-year coach, but it better not happen again. You know, lose your team in year one, fine. You're just the new guy. But now, the stakes are raised a little bit.
I think that's fair to say, right? Like, 1 year's a pass. Like, those aren't your guys, but
right.
By year two, if they're still here, like, you don't really get those excuses anymore. I think that we have to move on quickly from blaming the last regime. I think that we've made that mistake in football way too long. Oh, they got Dooley on them. Oh, they got Butch's sin on them.
I think it's okay to blame them in the first year.
With you 100%. Are we allowing that in year two?
No, because as a coach, I think you should have weeded those guys out by now. Even though a lot of the players who are still going to be contributing were Butch guys, you should know by now either those guys are competitors and they're now your guys because you've made them your guys, or they should have been weeded out.
You got here in what, December of 2017?
Yeah. Those are your guys now if they're contributing. If you still got guys who are playing that are like, I don't really care, that's on you as a coach. That seems fair to me.
So, I mean, you know, what, 22 months into it, you should have a bond. Those should kind of be your guys. Like I said, I feel like that's one of the mistakes we've made as a fan base and, you know, as media, not holding people accountable. We've done that collectively. We've made excuses for coaches too long.
I think we're all fed up with it.
And I don't know if that's fair to Pruitt because he's not going to get the same leeway that other coaches have had. But sorry, buddy, you are a little bit of a victim to your predecessors.
I think he knows that. And that's part of why he's not getting those spring game attendances that Butch got. He's not getting, you know, things like that, the benefit of the doubt on those things. And it is unfair to him, but it's just the way that it's got to be.
I think that he has kind of accepted that too. I think at first that was an issue for him, which you saw with the whole calling out the fans for bad attendance and all that stuff. Like, you saw that.
Well, one look at us and you can tell we're starving. That's what he needs to realize. Look at us as a fan base. Look into our eyes. You'll see that we're starving.
I think he gets that now.
We're not going to forgive you for not bringing home the groceries this time.
Just get the damn groceries.
We need them now. We're hungry.
Please.
We're hungry.
Please.
You can see our rib cage, for God's sake, as a fan base.
Yeah, yeah. Not us.
No.
Me and you are both pretty
it's
husky.
It's a metaphor. Or not a metaphor, maybe a, what is
I think
it?
I think a metaphor simile works.
It's not a simile. What is a?
To be a simile, you have to have a as, right? Is that right?
Or like.
Yeah.
Isn't there something that starts with an O?
What?
Onomatopoeia?
No.
That's just like a sound, like no. Bang.
I know what onomatopoeia is.
I used to learn this in English. It's like a metaphor. It's an example. No. It's an example.
I'm just trying to give you
something
to start with O's.
I know. I appreciate the help.
Alliteration?
I think metaphor was the right term because you compared it directly instead of using like or ass.
But there's another thing besides metaphor, though. I just can't.
Alliteration?
I can't remember what it is. I think you're thinking of alliteration.
It's actually thinking of alliteration. I don't know what alliteration is.
Sorry, I'm
He's thinking
illiterate.
Of illiterate, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, we're starving as a fan base. We could forgive previous coaches for not bringing us any food because we weren't extremely hungry then. We're extremely hungry now. We're as hungry as a fan base can be. I don't think a fan base could be any hungrier than we are.
So like I said, I think Pruitt's doing the right thing in terms of trying to connect with his team more. And I do think that hopefully you're going to see a little bit of a recruiting explosion, or at least a little surge coming over the next couple weeks. Tennessee landing some in-state guys, Tennessee landing some highly rated guys, that would be nice. Man, year two is going to not be your typical year two that you've had here around here for a while, right? Like, this is not going to be, at least for a lot of people. Now, you still have, you know, half the fan base who is going to be in wait-and-see approach, and I think the other half is going to demand. Like, what are we demanding this year? Seven? Is seven the demand? Like, I think we all want eight, but like you said, we'll be okay with seven and five. So is seven the demand?
I guess you got to call seven the demand. I really want to call eight the demand.
Well, I mean, when I say demand, I mean that's the floor. I think we're all going to be saying if you're good, you get eight, but seven, we're okay.
We'll survive with seven.
Can that be the official take of Talk Sports? Get eight if you're good, seven we're okay?
7 keeps us from dying of starvation.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just a little water and some rice. Like, it'll hold us over.
7 is a bowl of rice with just a little bit of chicken in it.
That's all I'm saying.
A little, like a half a bit of bread, you know, some porridge maybe. What is 6 and 6? That's like a chicken broth.
It's just like a little protein bar that they're giving you to hold you over, I guess.
That's a broth. It'll keep you alive, but barely. And you will be extremely sick.
Yeah.
And anything below that, we're on life support.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, if you're good, you get at least 8. 7 will buy you another year of getting your guys in there and all that stuff.
If we win fewer than 6, I'll never watch another game.
As long as Pruitt's the coach or just period?
Ever. I will never watch another game.
So if Tennessee doesn't make a bowl game, you're retiring from Tennessee football.
I'll stand by it. I'll never watch another game in my life if we win fewer than 6. If we win fewer than 7, I'll never watch another Pruitt game.
So if we just go 6 and 6, you're out on Pruitt?
Yes. If we go 6 and 6, I'm not watching another game until we get a new coach.
That seems extreme. The five wins sounded okay. I would just remove your stipulation for the 5 wins and make it that you would not watch another Pruitt game rather than no Tennessee football ever. But a man has to have a code, and I respect it. The 6 one seems a little aggressive.
If we win 4 or fewer, I will end my life.
All right, stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Tweeter writes in at Fox Sports Knoxville, is it bad of me to want to see us win 6 games or less just to see if John Reed will live up to his words? Please note that was Cody McClure who said that.
Our voices do not sound alike.
I don't know if that was him trying to say that he hopes that I'll never watch a Tennessee game again. I hope that TK is a fan of us since he listens to the show. I don't know. Some people may hate listen and want us to never watch Tennessee again. I don't know, but that was Cody who said 5 wins and he'll no longer watch Tennessee football. 4 wins, he has promised to kill himself.
Yep, and I said if we win fewer than 4, I'll take everyone with me as well. So everyone in this room and me. So hopefully we don't win 3. You guys better hope we do better than 3-9. Or we're all in trouble then.
Oh, man, if we are 3-8 heading into that Vanderbilt game, I might just skip town.
Oh, you might have to. Got a new Bumble connection here. Let's see what we're dealing with.
Who is it?
Yeah, I don't think.
Let me see.
I don't think so.
You would happen to swipe right on her.
Yeah.
Give her, what are you doing? You're just judging her by her looks?
Uh-huh.
She looks cute enough right there. The first picture, no.
Cute enough?
The first
for me?
No.
What do you mean by that?
I mean to talk to and get to know.
I don't think so.
She got any more pictures? Just the 2?
You should at least wait till she messages you so you can figure out her personality.
Yeah, it's Bumble anyway, so I'll have to wait and see if she messages me, but I'm probably not going to message back.
Just tell her, hey, I only got 5 months left to live anyways, so... I don't know if you heard, but Tennessee football is only going to win 5 games next year or 4 games next year.
I do have 3 in the match queue, and you know how they're pixelated? It looks like 1 could be pretty attractive, though. She's pixelated, though, so I got to keep swiping to see.
So what does that mean? That they're just telling you you have a waiting on
they
you?
They show you a preview of who
is,
but they're all pixelated.
Upgrade to boost, so they're trying to sell you to buy something.
Yeah, and I haven't.
I don't think they're legitimate people.
Some of them are. My boost.
Like he's used this before to unlock his boost before.
My boost subscription ran out.
Yeah, that one night you paid $35 for it accidentally?
No, that was a different thing. I accidentally bought $35 worth of coins.
Yeah.
I paid
the super like and stuff. You
yeah,
said?
And I didn't even mean to. I swear to God, I just my
don't swear to my God. I know, I know that you meant to do it. So don't even bother lying
here. I promise you, I did not mean to do that. I did mean to upgrade to Boost. I do that every now and then when I'm drunk at the bar. That's the only time I upgrade to Boost. You know how it is. You've had a few too many drinks, and you're like, get on. Let's see if I can match with somebody tonight.
No, I wasn't laughing at that. I was laughing in at a tweeter who says, I almost believe Cody means it, too. He said he would kill six people in a third world country just to eat a piece of pie his grandmother made. I think he's for real.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's a bad day for them.
Six people he didn't know.
Tennessee wins three games. I'll kill John, Cody, and Cam.
That's a bad day.
And Ben Lee.
I mean,
that's a bad day for them.
Do we really want to be here any longer if that happens?
I don't. I've.
We've stopped basing our happiness on the Vols.
Yeah, I've tried to distance my mental health and happiness away from Tennessee football. So yeah, I'll still want to live.
I mean, what is there really to live for if we're 3-9?
I feel like the Hawks are going to be pretty good next year.
There was a time in my life I had that thought process, but like these last 4 or 5 years have really taken it out of me. I just don't care anymore. If we start winning, that'd be nice. But
like, I don't know if the Titans are going to be any good or not. Like, but maybe.
Whoa, this Christina chick is tripping me out. She looks just like my ex-sister-in-law in the face.
Did you ever have any fantasies about your ex-sister-in-law?
No. It's not her, but she looks, I mean,
it'd probably be fine. She's your ex-sister-in-law.
Just like her.
I feel like that's still, you shouldn't really do
yeah,
that.
Ex-sister-in-law. No, she's off limits.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to anyway, but I'm just saying this.
Did you match with this girl on Bumble?
No, if I matched with this girl, I mean, I'd be messaging her already.
I thought you just said let me see her.
She's a big fan of Coors Light, too. I swiped. Not a match.
Not yet, at least.
Not yet.
Not yet, at least. Hold on to that hope, buddy.
It's all we can do sometimes.
That would be a good idea for an app, just to...
See, I got to keep swiping to figure out if I can ever get my pixelated matches in. Oh, I lost one. I must have swiped left on her. It was the pixelated one that I thought was attractive, too. She must not have been. I would have swiped right.
I'm truly surprised that you just don't swipe right on everyone.
What do you think? My standards are that low?
No, just deal with it once they match with you. And
you really going to swipe right on that girl? All right, let's talk sports. You're making me sound like a pig.
Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines.